Good morning and God bless you. My name is Peg Roan. I got into God's Word in 1974, and if you want to read about it, click on Amazon and check out I Saw the Light, but He Saw Me First, which is always the story. God is always waiting for us with open arms. He's always ready, willing, and able to help us. Crazy thing about God is He's more willing to help us than we are to ask for His help. So it's a good habit to check in with God and see how much He wants to do for you today, because God wants to bless you every day. So take your Bibles, please, and go to Judges chapter 6, verse 1. Today we're going to talk about Gideon from zero to hero. I think we'll talk about some things that are going to be very pertinent to us as individuals and also very pertinent to the state of our nation today. Judges chapter 6, verse 1, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hands of Midian for 7 years. He didn't want them in bondage. They put themselves in bondage, because it says in verse 10, they forgot the Lord. They didn't listen to Him. They ceased obeying His voice. And people, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is not, there is bondage." Not where you want to be. "And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens," or little hiding places, "which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds, because the Midianites were coming along and wiping out everything they had." Because in verse 3 it says, "And so it was when Israel had sown," you know, the fields to farm, "that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth, till you went all the way down to Gaza, north to south, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass." Verse 5, "For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for the multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to make everybody happy, to share the wealth." Nope, "to take from one group and give it to another." Yep, to destroy it. To take what belonged to one group of people and give it to another group. To just steal from them. "And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord." Well, here you have a wake-up sandwich. But you know, isn't it sad that so many times in life we have to get to this point of just being between a rock and a hard place to wake up and cry unto the Lord, when God wants us to be walking in His fellowship and His knowledge every single day. He wants us to be in His presence at all times, to have His blessing flowing through us at all times, not to wait until we're down to our, you know, the straw that breaks the camel's back. Well, they did. They at least had the good sense to cry unto the Lord. "And it came to pass," in verse 7, "when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet." And to make a long story short, He reminded them how He brought them out of Egypt, and He drove all the enemies out of the land and drove out all the people that oppressed them. And He had given them this land in the first place. You know, God's given us a whole bunch of promises in the Word. How many have you claimed versus how many have you let the thief come in and steal from your good bounty? So the prophet said, "Hey, the Lord said, I've given you all this land one time," verse 10, "and I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. I am," again, the great I am. "Fear not the God," small g, "of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But you know, you have not obeyed my voice." And there was the rub. They were letting the lies, the gods made of wood and stone who had no ears, no power, and couldn't hear. They were under their sway. Verse 11. So now God begins to turn things around. And there came an angel of the Lord, who in this case appeared in the form of a man, and sat under an oak, always a place where decisions were made, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash. He was the father of Gideon. And Gideon's going to be the main character in our story today. His son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thy mighty man of valor." Okay, so here's Gideon, hiding behind a rock, feeling like a zero, feeling pretty much Antarctica, way below zero, below freezing. He's hiding from the enemy so he can see if he can glean out a little patch of food to help feed him and his family. And he's hiding. He's hiding from the enemy. And I'll be the first one to admit, I have done that in my life too many times. I have known that there's something wrong, there's a situation that I need to be delivered from. God has told me this needs to be changed. You need to trust me for victory. And I ignore him. I hide behind a rock. I don't want to go to the hassle. Sometimes it's because I'm afraid of what he'll tell me what to do. You know, A.W. Tozer said most people don't talk to God in the first place because they wouldn't do what he told them if they hear his voice. So basically, sometimes you're just afraid he's going to tell you to do something you don't want to do. Sometimes you're afraid he'll tell you what you need to do and you won't have the faith and you'll disappoint yourself. You'll get down on yourself. I mean, there are a million reasons to hide behind a rock. But Jesus says he is the rock. We're supposed to be on the rock, on top of the rock. He is with us. He's our foundation. He's our power. He's our strength. And so then Gideon, verse 13, starts arguing with the angel, which, again, man is wont to do, you know, blaming God for his situation because of their unbelief. And verse 14, and the Lord looked upon him, Gideon, and said, "Go in this thy might, that and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" And Gideon said unto the angel, "Oh, my Lord," verse 15, "Oh, my Lord, Lordy, Lordy," we say this down south, "wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house." You know, in the Hebrew, this is, I'm the most worthless of the worthless. I'm not a piece of dirty chewing gum on the bottom of your shoe in a dark alley. I'm nothing. And instead, the angel says to Gideon, and the Lord said unto him, "Surely I will be with thee." God had already called him a mighty man of valor up in verse 12, already trying to get him to change his mind. He took a little convincing. But I want you to remember something else. You know, today you walk around and everybody can have a Bible in their pocket. You can go online and get it. You can have your King James, 5 or 6 copies in different translations if you want. In those days, they didn't have all that. If you remember in 1 Samuel, the reason God calls Samuel up through Eli, as it said, ere the lamp of God went out, there was very little vision in those days, very little revelation. So God had to do a lot more to get a person's attention. And he did for Gideon by sending this angel. And so Gideon says, "Well, wait a minute. Now you've got my attention," kind of like the woman at the well. And you know, this whole section makes me think of a quote by Les Brown that says, "Too many of us are not living out our dreams because we're too busy living out our fears." And here, the angel's job was to prime the pump, to get Gideon from a place of feeling like the weakest of the weak, the least of the least, to a mighty man of valor, to take him from zero to hero in a matter of weeks. And in verse 17, the Lord said, "Surely I will be with thee." That is what makes the difference. He had Gideon's attention. You know, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. But remember this, God knows beforehand if you're going to step up to the plate. God's not going to waste this kind of revelation on somebody he knows by foreknowledge is not going to obey in the end. You know, Jesus said in Luke 16, when they were talking about Abram and Lazarus' bosom, Jesus said, "There are many of you that won't believe God if someone came back from the dead." Well, someone has. His name is Jesus. That's in our rearview mirror. We have that to stand upon the rock. And you know, the other thing I think of here is you can't say the right thing to the wrong person and you can't say the wrong thing to the right person. God was saying things to build Gideon up. And so, you know, Gideon got an idea and he said, "Well, hey, hang on for a minute. And if I found grace," verse 17, "let me do something since you're talking to me. Don't leave anywhere. Just stick around here for a minute. Let me run get an offering." So he had enough knowledge of the true God to do that. And he went out and he killed a kid, a baby goat, or a young bullock. I can't remember which. You know, stewed it up, made some broth, made a bunch of unleavened bread, brought it back to the man slash the angel. And the angel said, "Put it upon a rock." And he did. And verse 20, the angel of God said unto him, "Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth." And he did so. And the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up a fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord went poof, and he departed. Makes me think of those two angels that pulled my car off the guardrail after it went off a bridge and turned around in midair and came back. They picked up a 2,000-pound car, set it on the road, turned around to thank them. Poof! They were gone. You know, I didn't know the Lord at that time. God was working with me. He was showing me things that would come back to mind later in my life to remember these times that God had saved me from perishing. And boy, in verse 22, the light bulb goes on and Gideon perceived that he'd seen an angel of the Lord. And he built an altar there in verse 24 and he called it Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah is my peace. Here was a guy that was full of fear, shaking in his boots, trying to dig out a little patch of land to feed his family. And now God has got him to a place of peace. You know, I love so much how God works with Gideon. He can take a lot of shortcuts with us today because we're filled with Holy Spirit. You know, later on, Gideon's going to throw out a fleece and get some more revelation. But people, our fleece is we can talk to Jesus Christ. We can get the download. We can get the 411. And after Jehovah Shalom, after he built that altar, God gave Gideon a small task, but a hard task to do. He told him to take a few men, 10 men of his father's servants, and go and tear down the altar of Baal and the pole of Ashtaroth. And you know what? These were his father's altars. These belonged to his dad. And his dad was a big wheel in the village, and the whole village worshiped these pagan altars. And Gideon went and broke them down. He chopped up the pole of Ashtaroth. He made a fire out of it. And he made an altar unto Jehovah and burned a sacrifice to the true God in verse 31. And man, when the villagers saw this, they were not happy campers. They wanted to kill Gideon. And you know what? You got to give Joash props right here, because he came and stood before his son, and these were his altars, belonged to Joash. But he said, hey, if Baal is really a god, don't you think he can defend himself? I mean, what great revelation. What a great heart this man had. And so after this happens, it says in verse 34, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet for all the land and said, come on out, you guys. The Lord is leading us to victory. Because at this point in time, the Midianites and the Amalekites, they were regathering in the Valley of Jezreel. Now, Israel has a lot of short hills. I'd call them hills. They call them mountains. But they have this Valley of Jezreel. It's huge. It's huge. It's big. It just seems like it runs on forever. And it's the fertile valley. And it is where all the farming, the farming is the epicenter of that area of the world. And whoever controls that Valley of Jezreel controls the people. And like I said, Gideon put out his little fleece thing and did that. But in verse 7, then Jerubbaal, that was the one who was Gideon, because he said Baal can stick up for himself, who was Gideon, and all that were with him rose up early and pitched, that means their tents, beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And basically, we're going to find out later that it's these people were like grasshoppers, it says. Basically, here was 135,000 hardened warriors, used to winning, ready to rack and ruin Israel against a weaponless, oppressed, hungry people. And verse 2 says, and the Lord said unto Gideon. So here Gideon calls his army, right? There's 135,000 down in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. Listen to this, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, puff themselves up, saying, my own hand saved me. Now therefore, go to and proclaim into the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from the Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. Okay, ouch. I just want to keep reminding you of these numbers. There's 135,000 battle-hardened warriors in the valley, ready to take over everything again. Gideon blows a trumpet, starts sending the word out, calls in the tribes of Israel, and he gets 32,000 men. Guess what? Those are not terrific odds. 135 to 32, those are not great odds, okay? And God says, nuh-uh, that's too many. Because I want everybody to know I'm the one who delivered this back into your hand. And you know, sometimes this will happen. You'll believe God for something and you'll think everything's going sideways. You'll think it's going crazy. You know, well, God, you didn't answer this prayer the way I saw it being answered. You know what? Sometimes God will do that just to show you I'm the one answering this prayer. This isn't your huge faith making this happen. This is your faith in me. I am making this happen so that the glory goes to him. Verse 4. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people, do you believe this, are yet too many. Okay, now Gideon's really beginning to wonder what's going on. Bring them on down to the water. And God says, I'm going to put them to a test. For there, and it shall be that whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And whosoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, Not going to go. Verse 5. So he brought down the people under the water. The Lord has said unto Gideon, everyone that laps the water with his tongue as a dog laps, him shall thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that bows down upon his knees and drinks. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, in other words, they cupped their hands and they brought the water up to their mouth and they lapped it from their hands. They took it out of their hands. Were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink the water. So, okay, he had 10,000 left, and he winnows it down to 300. Why? Because you know what was wrong with those other people? They were used to getting down on their knees and bowing down to Baal, bowing down to Ashtaroth, bowing down to the idols. God said, take them out. Got rid of the people with the fear, got rid of the unbelievers, and he was left with 300, I would call them stout-hearted men. Verse 7, and the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped, will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man unto his own place. Now it's really interesting, because now the odds are 450-1. For every one hungry, unarmed, tired man, there are 450 battle-hardened warriors. The 450 being the battle-hardened, the one being the unarmed men. Verse 7, and it came to pass that same night. Well, it says in verse 8, so everybody else took off. They went back home. And the host of Midian was beneath them in the valley. You know, last night Chris and I were watching something on TV, and they had a view of a beautiful picture window overlooking L.A. I've lived in a place like that. And, you know, you looked out that picture window, and you just saw lights as far as the eye could see. This is what I think of when I think of this vision. Here's Gideon up on a hill, and man, he's seeing these little torches by their tents as far as the eye can see. 135,000 warriors down in the valley waiting to whoop up on Israel and just continue to grind them under their heel. Verse 9, and it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto Gideon, arise! You know, if you're going to do something for God, you got to get up and get thee down unto the host, for I have, past tense, delivered them into thine hand. But, you know, if you're still a little anxious around the edges, go down with Purah, thy servant, and just walk down there and listen to what they're saying. Verse 11, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shall thy hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Look at how God is walking him through this step by step, inch by inch. Would he do any less to support a child of God who was filled to overflowing with his spirit, who has his DNA coursing through your body? No, 1,000 times no, honey. Jesus came to give us better promises and a better covenant. And then he went down with Purah, his servant, under the outside of the armed men that were in the host, verse 12, and the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for their multitude, and their camels were without number. And the thousand by the seaside, for their as the sand by the seaside for multitude. That is a large group of soldiers. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and he said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, I call this the bagel dream. Gideon getting built up by the bagel dream. Lo, a cake of barley tumbled into the host of Midian and came into a tent and smote it, and it fell and overturned it, and the tent lay along. Verse 14, and his fellow, now listen, these are the enemy. And his fellow answered and said, man, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Look at this. This is the enemy saying this. For into his hand has God delivered Midian and all the host. Man, right about now, Gideon's brain was doing the seven-way stretch. He was just, his mind was expanding. And I tell you, a mind that God expands, you know, can never return to its old dimensions. But you know what happened when Gideon was down there and followed God's directions and did not what he thought he had the strength to do, not what he led himself to do. He got up and started moving and obeyed God 100%. He did what God told him to do. And man, when he heard the enemy say this prophecy, click, his faith. Bingo. This is that sweet spot. This is when you're in the center of God's will. This is when you're no longer wondering if it's going to happen. You know it has already happened. In God's way, in God's time, that is this point where you know you are fully persuaded in what God has asked you to do. Like I said, there's no more wishful thinking. Something in you clicks. If you make this a habit, and you learn to feel it in your soul, where you're not wishing to be healed, you know you're already healed, not because the pain is gone, but because you believe. You have a financial problem, don't know how it's going to happen, but you feel that click. You don't know how it's going to be resolved, but you know it is. You're at that place of Jehovah Shalom. You know, a great lesson here. People say to me, well, how do I know if I'm believing or not? And you know, people think this is such a complicated answer, but it's not. There's joy and peace in believing. One of two ways, either God's called you to do something and you feel too small to do it, but hey, since we're God's by means of, since we take the place of the absent Christ, He's going to fill you up and give you everything. He's going to equip you with everything you need to carry out what He has asked you to do. The other side of the coin is you've come to Him with a supplication. It's a promise in the Word, so God has already said yes. He may not bring it to pass the way you see it. He's going to bring it to pass the way He sees it. But if you're believing, you get that click. I don't know how to explain it. Those of you who've had it, you've experienced it. It's when you're no more wondering if you're healed, if you have the victory, if you're going to succeed, if this family rift is going to be healed. You know, it's a knowing. You know, sometimes when we see that word faith, it just seems like this, almost like a foreign word or a word that we've used so much, it doesn't have much meaning to our heart anymore. But the true meaning of the word faith is to be fully persuaded. It's to be fully persuaded. In who? God. Jehovah. Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Sitkanu. All the aspects, it's to be fully persuaded in God. So after Gideon clicks and has this moment of faith, you know, because first you believe, then you receive. And that's the whole point of our life, is to learn how to live it trusting God. So what does God do when Gideon has that click? Does he miraculously quadruple his numbers? Does he give Gideon 135,000 men to fight with? No. Does he make swords out of plowshares? No. He sends Gideon down with the most incredible plan And with only those 300 men, pick it up in verse 15, that so Gideon, when he heard the telling of the dream, he worshiped. He worshiped. Click, he got it. And returned to his men. In verse 16, and he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet, not a sword, a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps or torches inside the lamp. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, blow those trumpets, those shofars. Boo, boo! I mean, they make a loud noise. Blow that trumpet on every side of the camp. So here's three men, three companies, probably 100 each. So guess what? The enemy's basically got one way to escape, and that's toward the River Jordan. Blow with the trumpets also on every side of the camp and say, look at this, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. The sword of the Lord and Gideon. You know what I love about this? God specializes in things called impossible. I can't tell you how many things God has either asked me to do or I have asked him to do according to his word, a promise, and he has met that request in the most unimaginable way, a way I would have never thought of, never even perceived it, never crossed my mind. But this is what's called being fully persuaded in God, the sword of the Lord in Gideon. Man, once God puts you on that path, he's directing your steps. Don't start trying to direct him. Let him keep directing it. I used to have a big poster on my wall that had a director's chair that said God. And the megaphone was sitting by the director's chair, God. And it said, God is large and in charge. Never forget it. And we'll always see those kind of results when we let him direct our steps. You know, we may start out strong and then start trying to figure it out and manipulate things. Nope, nope, nope. That's not how it works. We let him direct our steps until the victory, until the last thing has clicked. Verse 19. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch around 10 p.m. And they had but newly set the watch, and they blew those ram's horns, man. And they break those pitchers, and they held up those torches in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets, break the pitchers, held the lamps in their left hands, trumpets in their right to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. Man, 300 men in a valley where it's echoing. Can you imagine what kind of noise that made in the middle of the night, 10 p.m.? God is God. God is God. God is so amazing. Verse 21. And they stood their ground, man. They stood their ground in his place. Oh, I love these 300 men. Stout-hearted men, dog soldiers. They stood their place round about the camp. And all the host ran. This is the Amalekites and the Midianites. Ran and cried and fled, and the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man, the Midianites and the Amalekites, sword against his fellow, even throughout the host, and the host that fled to Bethshittah and Zarephath, and to the border of Abel-Meholah unto Tabith. These are the men turning on themselves. The men turning on themselves. The 135,000 so confused, they're killing each other. And when the men began to scatter all over the place, the few that were left, Gideon sent out word throughout all Israel, and the rest of the tribes did the mopping up. And what was the result? What was the result of one man who started out feeling a big fat zero the least in his father's house. It says in chapter 8, in verse 28, "Then was Midian subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted up their heads no more, and the country was in quietness." Peace and quiet. Jehovah Shalom. 40 years in the days of Gideon. This is my vision for the United States of America, that there are Gideons all over this nation doing things big and small behind the scenes that are carrying the torch, the sword of the Lord and Gideon, and that we will have peace and the true God once again flourishing and worshiping in our nation. Some people say, well, if there's peace for a while, the badness will just come back. You know what? That's how life is, ebb and flow. But, oh, Lord, not on my watch. Don't let the word go down in flames on my watch. Let me be a Gideon. Here I am. Send me. And people, I'm telling you, only God can turn any person from a zero to a hero. From a man quaking in his boots, hiding in a cave, to a mighty man or woman of valor. But you know what, folks? The story of Gideon, we don't harbor his weak moments of failure. He was still God's man. The point is, he responded to God's call. You know, too many of us can see ourselves in Gideon's weakness. Be willing to see yourself in his strength and in his obedience. See yourself in his God-like victory. Because that's what Gideon's remembered for. Not for hiding behind the rock, but for the 40 years of peace and prosperity he brought to Israel. All you got to do is be willing to listen to and obey God. Give him your full attention for whatever your task is at hand today, whether it's your job, your marriage, your family, your time with him, and then trust him with your tomorrow. Sufficient unto this day is the evil thereof. But during this day and every day, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything you need in this life will be added to you. I don't know how many Gideons are out there, but I pray there are many. And that we believe day by day that whatever is coming tomorrow, God's already prepared us for it. You know, I hear people hiding behind a rock so fearful of what's going on in our nation and the world. You got two ways to dwell, in fear or in faith. I say get out from behind the rock and ask God how to let you blow your trumpet and show your torch and burn your little candle. Don't hide your light under a bushel. No, burn your light. And we're taking souls back for God and heralding his word as we tear down the altars of Baal and the trees to Ashtaroth. You know what, people? That's how you live without fear, no matter what the worldly situation is. And that's a great place to live, in the center of God's strength, in the center of his love, in the center of his power, living without fear. And I love this record in Gideon because it's a record of how one man's faithfulness and obedience saved a nation. And I know, as those of you who are hearing my voice today, there are many Gideons among us. There are many Gideons among us. That's why I'm believing for a great awakening. I'm believing for evangelical outreach like we've never seen in our lifetime. I'm believing for signs, miracles, and wonders to spread across America and set the world on fire with faith in the one true God. So, Heavenly Father, we come before you today and say, here I am, send me. Take me from zero to hero. Show me how to live for you, God, and do only those things that are your will, and show me the way to do them. Direct my steps into the paths of your plan, because it's a good plan, a godly plan, and I will be blessed, and all that are touched by it will be blessed as well. Thank you for these things, in Jesus' name, amen.